Hello everyone, this is just, as the title would suggest, a simple video about the simple things. It is a running theme in a lot of our work that we talk about what is generally ignored in the headline news, which is the normal workings of what is effectively Western society in the aggregate. It is logistics, it is warehousing, it is storage, it is manufacturing, it is people's jobs, it is people's lives. That's all an economy is made up on. It's made up of simple things, simple interactions, and small mercies, really, that add together to keep an economy running and keep people fed, employed, and nominally, if not happy, then at least content, or at the very worst, subsisting. And a running theme in much of our work is that many of these things have been ignored and are starting to actively be attacked. The managerial class does not have absolute power, as some suggest. They are not really the abstract shapers of reality. They react to it in the same way we do, and a lot of their power is through framing it. That's been a long-running theme in a lot of our work. But it is something we talked about in the skills collapse. It's something I talked about during the population crisis and Sir Evelyn. And the food security stream we just did as well. All of these have a running theme, which is that those in power are ignoring all of the boring stuff that gets work done. It is things like infrastructure. It doesn't sound like it would affect the way a country works, but the state of, say, the road network in the UK and the road network and infrastructure in the US does have an effect on aggregate production. And a lot of the reason for the state of things is malinvestment. If you go back to some of our economic streams and more economics-focused content, you will see that we flag up time and time again, like we did with our infinite bubble stream, that the downstream effects of the money printer is that money is put in the wrong places, is used for the wrong things, the wrong economic signals are sent, and that creates a compounding effect in which you get stagnation, or at the worst, you get collapse eventually. It is a non-sustainable situation. But it's quite a simple process, really, and there are quite understandable reasons for it. If you look at just the way reality is, we joke about being the describers of reality, but unless you are somebody who is completely inculcated in the myths of the current moment, there isn't anything objectionable in what I'm about to say. There is ever closer management. That is a fact. You can see it in all walks of life that the society we live in, the economies we have to do work in, international travel, international relations, all of it is much closer managed by an elite who feels they are much more powerful and much more able to intervene in events. Whether that is true or not is debatable, but it is what is being attempted, is ever closer management. But if you look at the managerial class, they are even more so than in the past, career politicians, and lack specific technical knowledge. A lot of them will come initially from the legal field or increasingly NGOs, but many of them are just lifelong apparatchiks. They are mandarins. They are people who speak a different language and do not understand how private industry works, especially things like manufacturing. And they don't feel like they need to be technically competent, as they assume there is an inexhaustible supply of technical people and technically competent people to draw from. So the current managerialists inherited the system they operate, and they do not understand its workings, even in their own limited spheres. Having encountered politicians personally and having spoken to people who run large public bodies or partake in very high-end academic research, I'm always alarmed by an orthodoxy in their methods of thinking, and two, a lack of just general knowledge, of distributed knowledge. We talked about during our Skills Collapse stream and also in the Skills Collapse piece on the Substack, which has since really been labeled wider as the competency crisis, but it is the same effect. It's the same thing we're talking about, that there's this... There is a deliberate attempt to undermine the skills, and I'll talk about that a little bit more at the end, about the attack on the simple things, the boring things that keep the world turning. But really, it's to do with a fact that they do not know how to educate people who will then become useful and prosperous, because that's not really something you can control, especially in a system where you have a large amount of suppression of people who would otherwise be what would be referred to as natural elites, people with leadership skills, people with vision, people with, for a better word, will to power. But a lot of that is being suppressed. Some of it deliberately and some of it just systematically. A large part of what we talk about is the confluence of deliberate sabotage and also ignorance to the natural workings of things like farming. The food security stream we just did, I think, is a microcosm of all of these abandonments of the simple fundamentals of economics, supply chains, and human needs. It is a big, big theme throughout all of our work that we go through. I guess some of the more boring stuff. I think the example I was thinking of that led me to make this is the fact that we went through grain production. We talked about rapeseed oil production and rapeseed crops and how they act as fallow crops. That's not something you would think of as a wide-scale political or economic issue. It's just the normal workings of a farm. But as the normal workings of a farm begin to break down because of how managerialism functions and the malinvestment it causes and the frank Lysenkoism we see within the science, that is something that it's difficult to separate out, because many who are in positions of mid-level power do believe some of these myths that those higher up know are myths. That is something we can say. And it is dangerous because it is, for those of you who don't know, Lysenko was a Soviet scientist who thought you could will crops into existence with Soviet worker ethic. They talked about Siberia being a garden and being able to use Soviet methods to create wheat that could grow in tundra, where it's scientifically and physically impossible. And people have known this since the Middle Ages. People know where wheat grows, people know where plants grow, and people know how natural selection works. He was very anti-natural selection and the emerging science of genetics, which at the time was inseparable from many aspects of eugenics. But that's by the by. Genetics is an area where we see direct Lysenkoism. It was plants, but now it's humans that are the victims of this Lysenkoist thinking in a very obvious way, but it is everywhere. And the climate science stuff is a pervasive aspect of modern Lysenkoism. There's an article here from the Mises Institute. I'm not really going to read it. I'll link it down below. You can give it a read yourself. It's Science for the State from back in 2010, almost in the before times of the internet. But it is quite a good read, and it is a good summary of the fact that now we have the science, the facts, and it's something I went into. If you want to look back at some of the videos on the channel, it's a video and it's also an article on the Substack, my piece about technocrats in the abstract. Well, I'm not doing this, as some people seem to assume, because I think I should be in charge. That is not something that that we are advocating for. It's more in that many areas of life, like farming, the people who should be in charge of that are people who understand how grain works. The farming should be left to the farmers. The weaving should be left to the weavers. The idea that industry and individuals without the direct sitting on of state will not be productive and therefore must be given direction that amounts to being led by the nose by people who are not subject matter experts is something that is discussed in the mainstream field of politics, but it's never discussed in the way that the state should get out of the way. That is a very basic libertarian talking point, really, but people don't understand the outgrowth of that. To get the politicians and the political class, the managerial class, out of the way would involve completely removing them, because they cannot function and they cannot remain in power if they are not in the way of everything. Anyway, I hope that makes a couple of the points we make slightly clearer. Again, simple and boring. It's things that people take their eyes off that eventually get you. It is the small niche pieces, as people gain more control, that they don't need or don't feel they need to look for, or don't know they need to look for. It's to turn into Donald Rumsfeld for a second, it's the unknown unknowns. And having a management system where you have an elite class who effectively has absolute power amplified by technology, who does not know that certain problems exist that were known about in a more distributed system, you end up with collapse. And that's why we always talk about all of this tending towards breakdown and collapse. It's breached into, as I said earlier, the mainstream sphere, at least the mainstream sphere on what would be considered the right, with the discussion of competency crisis and the outgrowth of positive action and decades and decades and decades of very poor education that teaches people wrong for political reasons. Again, very Lysenkoism. But this is where we find ourselves. And unfortunately, as I see in this sphere, there is a tendency to focus on the grand narratives, to focus on the geopolitical headlines, focus on the machinations that create nations, when really it's about growing food, making screws, making nuts, having transport, having extremely basic, boring things that people don't want to learn about, don't want to listen about, and crucially, don't want to think about. And eventually that will cause a sense of universal breakdown. And that is unavoidable, unfortunately, with the current set of people we have in power and one of the central theses of our work. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. I'll talk to you guys on the next one, and have a good evening. Bye.